From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans. Messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, as found in his collection called Morning and Evening. This morning's text comes from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 14. Them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Let us not imagine that the soul sleeps in insensibility. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise, is the whisper of Christ to every dying saint. They sleep in Jesus, but their souls are before the throne of God, praising him day and night in his temple, singing hallelujahs to him who washed them from their sins in his blood. The body sleeps in its lonely bed of earth beneath the coverlet of grass. But what is this sleep? The idea connected with sleep is rest, and that is the thought which the Spirit of God would convey to us. Sleep makes each night a Sabbath for the day. Sleep shuts fast the door of the soul and bids all intruders tarry for a while, that the life within may enter its summer garden of ease. The toil-worn believer quietly sleeps, as does the weary child when it slumbers on its mother's breast. Oh, happy they who die in the Lord! They rest from their labors and their works who follow them. Their quiet repose shall never be broken, until God shall rouse them to give them their full reward. Guarded by angel watchers, curtained by eternal mysteries, they sleep on, the heritors of glory, till fullness of time shall bring the fullness of redemption. What an awaking shall be theirs! They were laid in their last resting place, weary and worn. But such they shall not rise. They went to their rest with the furrowed brow and the wasted features, but they wake up in beauty and glory. The shriveled seed, so destitute of form and comeliness, rises from the dust a beauteous flower. The winter of the grave gives way to the spring of redemption and the summer of glory. Blessed is death, since it, through the divine power, disrobes us of this workday garment, to clothe us with the wedding garment of incorruption. Blessed are those who sleep in Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We shall rise.
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 the resurrection morning, when death's prison bars are broken,
we shall rise.
Hallelujah, we shall rise, we shall rise, we shall rise. Hallelujah. In the resurrection morning, blessed thought it is to be, we shall rise. I shall see my blessed Savior, who so freely died for me. We shall rise, we shall rise. We shall rise.
Hallelujah.
We shall rise.
Hallelujah. We shall rise.
Hallelujah. In the resurrection morning, when death prison bars are broken,
we shall rise.
Hallelujah, we shall rise, we shall rise.
We shall rise.
We shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise.
We shall rise.
We shall rise. Hallelujah, we shall rise.
In these troublesome times for our nation, many people are looking to the government or to social action for a solution. But the only real answer to the human predicament is a true spiritual revival. Many Christians have no idea of what constitutes revival in the scriptural sense. Certainly the greatest revival in the history of the Christian church took place on the day of Pentecost. Down through the centuries, there have been remarkable visitations of God during which thousands were gloriously saved. Times such as the Protestant Reformation, the revivals in England under John Wesley and George Whitefield, the Great Awakening in America associated with Jonathan Edwards were times of genuine spiritual revival. The common factor in all of these events was an undeniable demonstration of the power of God rather than the ingenuity of man. In the early 1950s, such a revival occurred on the Isle of Lewis, one of the Hebrides off the west coast of Scotland. In the course of several years, hundreds of people were converted to Christ, and many churches were built to take care of them. Again, the Holy Spirit of God came down in power. The preacher during those days was the Reverend Duncan Campbell. Yet what took place on Lewis was not due to his pulpit skills, but to the overwhelming moving of God among the people. Strong men, hardened sinners who mocked the preacher, were suddenly struck to their knees by the roadside under conviction of sin. Young people in a local dance hall left their frivolity, ran to the churches, crying for mercy upon their souls. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to make available CD copies of both Duncan Campbell's account of what happened during those revival times on Lewis, as well as a CD containing personal testimonies of people who came to salvation in Jesus Christ during those revival times. The CDs are available to you free of charge, simply by requesting your copies. You may write us at LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's LTBS, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or you may telephone us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. Just request your copies of the CDs of the Revival on the Isle of Lewis. You will be blessed greatly as you listen to these accounts of the power of God at work. As he continues these studies in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns will bring the final portion of a message called Defending the Goodness of God. The text is found in chapter 9, verses 14 through 29. The Jews of Paul's day objected to his teaching that God has chosen some to salvation, while leaving the rest to perish in their sin. They claimed that by doing so, God was either unjust or that he was not good. Paul counters by arguing that God owes no man anything, since all men are sinners, not only by birth, but also by deliberate choice. The problem with the lost is that they choose to reject the mercy which God offers in Christ. So God gives them exactly what they want, eternity without him. There is therefore no ground for sinners to find fault with God. He is just, perfect, sovereign, and good. Now Dr. Cairns concludes this message, defending the goodness of God.
When God called me to Greenville, this was for me a mission field, believe it or not. But God confirmed there's a harvest there. How do I know there's a harvest? Because he is absolutely sovereign. He will do his will. He's powerful. He can kill and he can make alive, as Deuteronomy 32:29 says, as he showed in Egypt. He's faithful. His purpose will stand and his promise will be fulfilled. He's just, because while the ground of mercy is solely the will of God, the ground of condemnation is always the sinfulness of the sinner. God never gives a sinner what he doesn't deserve. And he's good. Understand this, and I think this is lost in most of the discussion about the sovereignty of God. His central purpose is a purpose of mercy. When God is speaking here about describing his purpose, he says, what's the first word out of his mouth? I will have mercy. And people are that busy on the next part, on whom I will have mercy, that they forget the first. He's saying, I will have mercy. The millions of people saved across the world are all living testimonies to the glorious truth of that wonderful fact. That's his central purpose. I've often said, I believe that God will give Christ the preeminence even in the number of the people saved versus the number of the people lost. In other words, will there be more in heaven than in hell? I verily believe there will. Yes, I'm aware of Matthew 7, few there be that find it. That is a description of a very limited period of time, and it is not the final or only word. How do I know it? In Isaiah 28:21, I'm told, judgment is God's strange work. It's his strange act. God's greatest central purpose is a purpose of mercy. He's good. Remember what I said. Never forget it. And do not pervert the gospel of sovereign grace. Where there is a soul that longs to be among God's elect, and know it, longs to be among God's redeemed, there is a willing Savior. And God is good to everyone who calls on him. Get a vision of God. See man, guilt, his depravity. For did you ever stop and think that both mercy and judgment presuppose guilt? See man and his inability. It is not of him that willeth or of him that runneth. You're not going to get saved in the strength of your decision. Now listen carefully. That doesn't deny the importance of willing or running. There are some people who think that you believe what I believe, you're what the world calls a Calvinist, you can't believe in men deciding for Christ. Sheer unadulterated rubbish. I'm working at expressing myself clearly. Rubbish. This does not deny the importance of willing and running. In this very chapter, Paul talks about people attaining this salvation. Men say, well, if God is sovereign, we're just puppets. Paul doesn't even recognize such a foolish objection, doesn't set out to answer it directly, but he does destroy it. Man's willing and man's running are not illusions or delusions. What Paul is saying is they are not the moving cause. In other words, God doesn't love you and save you because of how well you will or do. You decide for Christ because of that mysterious but glorious and gracious decision of God long before time began. There's no spiritual ability in man to originate faith and repentance. God doesn't choose as dependent on our choice. It's the other way around. If you want to find anything out about man, you'll see his utter inferiority to God and his total dependence on God. We're the clay and he forms us. What does that tell you? Did not Paul say to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, by the grace of God I am what I am? This is a liberating truth. Some of you, you say, I'm not much. Well, I would get worried about you if you were coming to tell me how great you were. I have an inbred detestation of people who are full of their own greatness. I had a young fellow come when I wasn't long in Greenville, and I was very busy, as those who were here in those days will remember. My days were very, very, very full. That's where all these grey hairs came from. 21-hour working days, week after week after week, and month after month. And I was out on my feet, and he came to sit down and tell me, it's time that you got to know a little about me. And really, he proceeded to tell me how wonderfully gifted he was, and he was really looking for some place whereupon to bestow his not inconsiderable talents. Had there been a bucket in the room, well, we will not go any further. He got short shrift. Would you come to me and say, preacher, what am I? I don't have the brains of him or her. I don't have the ability and the talent of that person. I look into my background and I see things that I'm ashamed of. What can I ever be? Let me tell you, the hand of the master potter delights to take the meanest and form them into vessels of honor. The grace of God can make you everything that the will of God calls you to be. Let me finish with a word of gospel. If there's one thing comes out of all this, it is that man can be saved. That's the message of verses 25 through 27. God can and will save his people from their sins. He's calling out a people. Some of them are Gentiles, some of them are Jews. He's calling the most unlikely people from the most unlikely places. He's calling. Do you notice something? When Paul gets to the end of this, he doesn't say, now sit down and figure out where you sit in the eternal purpose of God. He doesn't say, sit down and figure out, are you written in the book of God's eternal election? That would be presumptuous. No, no. He talks about hearing the call of God and obeying it by faith. And I'll tell you something, here's the beauty of it. I can't read God's eternal book. It's enough that he can. But I do know this book. And this book tells me that whom God calls, he justifies. Whom he justifies, he glorifies. And those whom he calls and justifies and glorifies, by those very acts are demonstrated to be the people he foreknew and predestined. Forget about reading God's eternal book, the book of his purpose, and read in plain English what he says here before you. See yourself as a sinner, guilty, depraved, spiritually incapable of anything good, a willing slave of sin and a deserving candidate for hell, and then see God in sovereign grace and love and mercy, and hear the call of the gospel in the lips of Jesus Christ. Heed it by faith. And here's the promise. These are the very words that Paul uses. They shall be saved. May God take his word. Use it to slay our own pride, to establish in our hearts the testimony of his justice and his goodness, and lead us all out, in the words of the old hymn, to step out on the promise and get under the blood. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts for his name's sake. Our time is gone. We have no closing hymn. We had no service this morning, so I had to get two services in the one. I trust that as you go, you'll go thinking. And you go home believing. Let's bow together in prayer. Let us all pray. Our loving God and our Father in heaven, we do bless thee and praise thee tonight for the glorious truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, we praise thee for the sovereign goodness of God. O Lord, we're ashamed that man would ever question thy faithfulness or question thy justice, or deny thy goodness. Lord, we bless thee that thou art all perfection. And we bow to thee tonight and confess that thou art our God. And as we were singing earlier, how great thou art. Lord, overwhelm our souls with the magnitude of thy greatness. Lord, we realize that thou canst deal with every sinner in sheer and undiluted justice. But all we thank thee that at Calvary mercy and truth met together, and righteousness and peace kissed each other, and the goodness and the justice of God both came together there in dealing with Christ. And O Lord, we do praise thee tonight that he is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. We believe it, Lord, for thy word says it. We pray that thou wilt rescue sinners tonight from their own arrogance and pride, from their finding fault with God. Rescue them, O Lord, from making thy sovereignty the excuse of their own remaining in sin. O Lord, we pray this evening that thou wilt graciously and powerfully enable them simply to take Christ at his word and receive him in the terms that are set forth in the gospel. Father in heaven, we do pray, save the lost tonight. Remember thy people. O Lord, thy grace has made us what we are. We're not in hell. Thank God, we are redeemed. Lord, take these lives and fashion them as vessels unto honor. Oh God, take every young life here tonight and every older life, and let us live for the glory of our dear Redeemer. Hear us now and part us with thy very richest blessing. Be the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, both this Sabbath evening and until our Lord Jesus Christ either calls us home or comes again in all his glory. We pray these things, giving thee our thanks, in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, founded by Dr. Alan Cairns. Let the Bible Speak is also heard in many parts of the world through the international radio outreach of Let the Bible Speak, produced in Northern Ireland. The Free Presbyterian Church stands without apology for the absolute inerrancy of the Bible, emphasizing preaching that centers on the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ, and is militant in its stand against the ecumenical apostasy and the efforts of the world to infiltrate the Church. For further information about the Free Presbyterian Church, you may email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. You may call us at 864-244-2408. Or you may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Again, that's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Also, we encourage you to visit the website of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America at www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelsch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.